Okay, today's daf is by Matzia Daf Kuf Yud. Just a reminder, I'm not going to be here on Sunday or Monday. So, by Matzia Daf Kuf Yud. So, says the Gemara, Gufa is where we left off, about 15 lines before the end of the page. Gufa, going back to the last thing we were discussing yesterday, Amar Rav Minyumi B'Reid Rav Nechumi Ba'asru D'Shakil Shasla Palgova Arisa Tilta. When the minhag is that the Shasla, the guy who plants the vineyard and then is supposed to become the aris of the vineyard indefinitely or for a very significant period of time, if the minhag is that he takes half of the vineyard, because after all, his contribution is much greater than a typical aris. He actually planted the vineyard. The arisa tilta, and the aris, the minagis, takes one third of a vineyard. So, hai shasla debayis takulei, if a shasla wants to leave his job early, he wants out of the vineyard, yaavinan le shivchei umisalkinan le. We give him whatever shevach, whatever improvements he's made, and he can leave. Ki hechid lo livsa balabayis, but we do it in a way that the balabayis is not going to lose out in the long run. We arrange it in such a way that the balabai shouldn't lose. Amar Rav Minyumi B'Reid Rav Nechumi Kufa Sava Palga, that if the vines themselves grow old and hardened and are unable to produce fruits anymore, so the shasla is going to get half of the vines. Says Rashi, Kufa Sava Palga, Geffen she's kina bekerem hareu kishar zmuro shecholken bem. Just like all of the other vines, the shasla gets half. The old vines, he also gets half. The notable shasla palga kishar peros. The kivin to orcha bahachi adai to dalchinachas. Since this is the normal thing to happen to vines, it's not unexpected. Therefore, this was assumed that it was part of the plan, that the shasla is going to take half of these vines just like he does all the other vines. Shatvanara riva. If a river, however, came and overflowed the field and ruined the vines' ability to produce anymore, and now they come to divide the eitzim of the field, so then the shasla, that's more like the shasla leaving at the wrong time, leaving the field when he's not supposed to yet leave, when he's not supposed to retire, where we said before that since the balabais is going to have to hire a new aris, and we don't want the balabais to lose money, so the shasla only gets riva, he only gets a quarter, he doesn't get a half. Okay, hahu gavra demashkin pardesa lechavrei. New case. There's a guy that gave his field as a mashkon to his friend the Eser Shnin for 10 years. Now Rashi adds in a little bit over here that the situation is that it was a mashkanta desura. The way mashkanta desura works is that if Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, so instead of Reuven paying back $1,000, he'll give Shimon his field for 10 years. Shimon will be allowed to eat the fruits of that field for those 10 years. We're assuming it will be roughly $100 of fruits per year, and as he's ochel the peros, he deducts from what Reuven owes him. So after 1 year, Reuven owes him $900, after 2 years, $800, etc. So he'll keep on deducting from what Reuven owes him based on the achilas peros for those 10 years. Now what happens is, v'kash l'chamesh shnin, 5 years into it, not unexpectedly, Rashi says it was bizmano shayirayu l'kach, it was supposed to happen, the vines grow old and they're no longer able to produce any fruit. So now the question is, how are we going to view this wood, these hardened old vines that are unable to produce any fruit? Are they considered the field itself? In which case, if they're considered a piece of karka, well, the mashkon, the Shimon is not entitled to the karka. He's entitled to the peros of the karka. So if these are considered the field itself, you would have to sell these vines, buy new karka with them, and Shimon would eat the peros of that karka. But if they're considered the peros of the field, so Shimon will get to keep them just like he gets to keep any other peros. And that would be the end of the deal. Shimon would get to keep them. You would have to deduct that amount from what Reuven owes Shimon. But now there's no more peros that are coming in Shimon's direction because this field's not producing anything. You didn't buy any other fields that are producing anything. So Reuven would have to pay in cash the balance of the loan. So how do we view this wood that's hardened, is no longer producing any fruits? Do we view it as the karka itself? Or do we view it as the peros of the karka? So Abaye Amar Perahavi. Abaye says we view it as peros, rather, and therefore you just give it all to Shimon. and let Reuven worry about how he's going to pay the rest of the money. But all of this wood goes to Shimon. Rava Amar Karna Havi Vilakach Karka Vuachal Perus. Rava says, no, this is considered part of the Karka, it's considered the Karen, and therefore you sell this wood, you buy another piece of land with it, and let Shimon eat the Perus from that other piece of land. Frek Tosos Vim Tomar Vakufa Sava Palga Vidochak Lomar De Palag Rava Ad Rav Min Yumi. We just said earlier, literally 2 minutes ago, that Kufa Sava, that if the vines get old in a situation where there's where you have a shasla, where you have a person who was who planted the vines and is supposed to be the artist on the vines, so we said Palga, we said you divide it in half like all other produce of the vineyard, which means very clearly that we view this as the peros of the vineyard, not that we view it as the vineyard itself. That when the vines get old and no longer produce, in the previous case we just said we clearly view it as the peros of the vineyard, not as the keren, as the karka itself. Why would Rava all of a sudden now argue on Rav Min Yumi? It doesn't make sense that previously it was less mandapalig, everyone agreed to Rav Min Yumi. Now all of a sudden it's machlokas and Rava disagrees. So says Tosa, well, Rashi already addressed this issue, because Rashi, when it came to that Kufa the Saba Palga, to the case of the artist, right, of the Shasla, Rashi had said, Tikivan to Urcha Bahachi Adaita Dahachi Nachas. That has nothing to do with whether it's really considered peros or whether it's really considered karka in that case. It has to do with what people assumed at the beginning of the agreement. So since it was adaita d'achi nachas, he assumed that this was going to happen, and therefore he's going to be entitled to half of these old vines the same way he'd be entitled to half of new vines. So that's why he's entitled to half, not because it's fundamentally considered peros. Rava now is talking about where we're not talking about a shasla, we're talking about a case where it's a mashkon, and we need to know fundamentally, is it considered peros or is it considered keren? And to that, Rava says it's considered keren. Tosla says different. Tosla says v'yeshlomer dekufa saba palga mishum deshasla shakil afilu begufa karka palga. He says, who says the shasla only takes half of the peros? He takes half of the gufa karka as well. V'chi mistalik lozimni hu deshakl riva mishum de'alav l'shalim afilu masha abal yisarech litenar sheishmar chalko shayimutal ha'shasla lishmar. Meaning, why does he take a quarter if he leaves at the wrong time? Because he's got to compensate the balabais for the added expense of having to hire an aris right now to watch the land that otherwise the shasla would have been responsible to watch. But that's the point. The point is that by a shasla, there's no such rule that the shasla only takes half of the peros and not half of the karka. Hitaka takes half of the karka itself as well. Okay, so anyway, says the Gemara Vayter Meisvei. So now we have this machlokas Abaye and Rava. When you have the vines that dry out and are no longer able to produce fruit, do we assume that that's considered karka, and therefore you sell it, buy other karka with it, and the person who was holding on to the mashkon would be ochel the peros from that? Or do we say, no, it's considered peros, and as peros, just give it straight to Shimon. Let the person, the lender who's supposed to get paid back from the peros, let him just take all those old vines. So the Gemara is going to try to prove one way or the other. Meisvei, yavash she'ilano nixas, if a tree gets dried up or cut down, shnei masurim bo, then they're both aser to use it. Ketzed yasu, what do you do with it? You machru le'etzim, yilach ben karka v'uachal peros. What do? You sell it, buy karka with that money, and let him eat the peros from the karka. So wait a second, my love, yavesh tumi d'nitzas, don't we have the right to assume that the situation where the tree dried out is similar to the situation where it was cut down? Man nitzas bismano, just like it's obvious that when the tree was cut down on purpose, it must have been at the time where it's no longer producing any fruit, and therefore it makes sense to cut it down. Af yavish bismano, so to when it's dried out, we're talking about a dried out bismano at the expected time, which is exactly where the machlokes Abaye and Rava was, where it gets dried out at the expected time after 5 years when that was expected. It's unclear why the guy would take a mashkanta desura for a 10-year arrangement when he's expecting it to be worthless after 5 years. Could be some of the vines he expected to be done after 5 years, the other half, yeah, I'm not sure though. Anyway, so don't we have the right to assume that the case is talking about where it was expected, and yet v'katani yilakach ben karka v'uach peros, and still it says buy karka and let him eat the peros from that karka. So you see very clearly alma karnahavi. You see very clearly araya to rava that we view the dried out vines as karen, as part of the land, and not as peros. Answers Gemara, lo, nixas, the mil diyavesh. No, we say that instead of comparing the case of Yavesh to the case of Nixas, say that the case of Nixas is similar to the case of Yavesh. My Yavesh blows mano, just like when we talk about something drying out, presumably it means that it dried out at the wrong time, at an unexpected time, af Nixas blows mano. So to Nixas is talking about a case where it got cut down at the wrong time. Now why initially did we assume that Nixas meant bismano? It doesn't say about Bismano or Shalom Bismano by the case of Nixas, neither by the case of Nixas nor by the case of Yavesh. So why do we assume that the case of Nixas initially, or we automatically assume it's Bismano? So Tulsa says two reasons. First of all, Dein Derech Lixas Shalom Bismano LaHafsid Peros. Why would you cut down a tree that's still producing fruit? Just, it's not normal to cut down a tree that's still producing fruit. You might as well still enjoy the fruit of that tree. Once it's no longer producing fruit, it's just dead wood, then it makes sense to cut it down. Furthermore, Tosfos says, "Va'o damrin perikol yachbar ha'diklat tam kava asur lemiktsia." Right? We said in the Gemara is going to say Masechta Bava Basra again, another foreshadow for the Masechta that's coming up next week. The Gemara says in Masechta 2 weeks. The Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra that if you have a fruit bearing tree, it's asur to cut it down. So the clear implication of Tosfos though is that once it's no longer bearing fruit, even if it's a fruit-bearing tree, it's mutter to cut it down. Now the issues of cutting down fruit trees are somewhat complicated by the fact that the Gemara assumes that kiyada meitz hasada, that a person is compared to a tree, and therefore when you cut down a fruit tree, the onesh for doing so is not an onesh in Beis Din, but an onesh in Neshamayim. For doing so is that a person's children are going to die. Oh, Rachman al-Tzlan, terrible things that happen. So although the halacha doesn't seem, just straight from the Gemara, doesn't seem to be like a terribly serious halacha, people treat it in a very serious way because of the terrible sakana that's associated with doing it, with cutting down trees. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch and you look at the Nosei Kelim, it seems that there are some very easy heterim to cut down trees. Certainly asking a guy to do it or selling it to a guy, things like that. But nevertheless, people are very nervous about doing it. The poskim are very nervous about doing it. Tosfos, someone told me there's a shul somewhere where they wanted to build a shul, but it was in Brooklyn or something. There was a fruit-bearing tree right there, so they built the shul around the tree. Like the building is, I don't know. Anyway, so that's a mysterious nefesh. But the Tosfos then says, but wait a second, why do we assume that if we had our right to assume whether Yavesh was Bismano or Belozmano, that Yavesh must have happened Belozmano? Meaning, why we assume Nixas is Bismano, I understand now. Tosfos just explained. Why does the Gemara then say Lamaskana? No, just like it's obvious that Yavesh is below Zmano, so too Nixas is below Zmano. What makes it obvious that Yavesh is below Zmano? So says Tosfos, lo, my Yavesh shalob is Mano, Yavesh mashma shalob is Mano, midelo katani hizkin. The word hizkin would have been the more appropriate term to use had it been Bismano, because that would imply a natural aging of the vine. Yavash implies that it withered, right? That something unexpectedly withered, it withered early. So that's from the choice of words that the Gemara had, that's how we know that it's Shalom Bismano. Fractosos, we're about to say in two lines from now, the Gemara is going to say that his kinu is a lashon of something that happened Shalom Bismano. So how could the failure to use the word hizkin imply it shalob bismano, and the word hizkin imply bismano? The Gemara is about to say hizkin implies shalob bismano. So Tosa says, yeah, hizkin can go either way. It can mean bismano or it can mean shalob bismano. Yavesh only implies shalob bismano. Okay, we'll take him for his word. Tashma, another raya, bottom line. Naflo gefanim v'zesim zekenim. A woman receives as a Yerusha, after she gets married, her father dies and she receives as a Yerusha Gefanim and Zesim that are Zekanim, that are old. So Yimachru le'etzim, you sell them for Eitzim, v'yilakach ben karka v'uachal peros, and you buy karka with it, and the husband will eat the peros. Now the husband is entitled only to the peros of these nechasim. These are nechasim alog. Husband is entitled to the peros, not to the gufa karka. So as such, whatever we're going to say about these dried out this dried out wood, whether these dried out vines, is going to determine whether we view them as karka or as peros. So if we're going to say that the husband just gets to keep them, then obviously we view them as peros. But if you say you have to sell them by karka and he'll eat the peros of that karka, so obviously you view these as karka itself. So this is a raya to Rava again, that it's karna havi. So answers the Gemara, ema vihizkinu. No, don't read it that it happened bismano, that it just withered in natural progression, but rather vihizkinu. It happened below zmano. As Rashi says, kaftza le'en zikna. It came out of nowhere, out of left field, it all of a sudden got old. Also, the Gemara says that that case is talking about not where she receives a field with vines and with trees in it, but rather she receives trees that are in someone else's field. Her father had owned trees that are in someone else's field. She only receives the trees. Now, when she's only receiving the trees are the keren. So therefore, in that case, you're going to say, sell the wood from the trees, buy other karka with it, v'hu achal peros. That's when we're going to say the trees are the keren, because the land that the trees are in are certainly not the keren. So once the trees are gone, she would be left with nothing. So the whole idea of a keren is that there's always something there for her. Okay, so that's why that case is different. Weiter. It was a shtar that was very poorly written. Apparently they didn't have very good lawyers. They wrote a Mashkanta Desura, where again, Mashkanta Desura is a case where Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Instead of paying him $1,000, gives him a land as a mashkon, so that Shimon could eat the peros off that land for X amount of years and deduct the value of those peros from the money that's owed. So instead of saying how many years it's going to be in Shimon's hands, it just says years. That this is going to be given to Shimon for years. Sometimes people make mistakes in shtaros. Things come up, they just they write them too quickly, and they make simple errors. Someone just called me the other night. A woman was reading her ksuba. Sometimes she was, I don't know if she was planning on killing her husband or whatever, but she was reading her ksuba, and she noticed that in her ksuba her name is Rezel Naami. And it says that the first two times that her name appears, it says it properly, it says Rezel Naami. The third time in the Ksuba V'Kanin Amin, whatever, Chasan Dinan Le Rezel David, Besultada. Sara Kedusha, the Chasan's father's middle name was David. So he got confused. He was writing all these different names. He was apparently rushed at the Chasan. He wrote Rezel. People make mistakes. It was a seasoned, experienced Masara Kedushin. People make mistakes sometimes in shtaros. So they wrote Shnin. They forgot to write the amount of years. A crazy thing. A very mindless thing, because it's such an important thing to write. So anyway, Malva Amar Shalosh, Lova Amar Shtayim. So the Malva says, I'm entitled to keep this karka for 3 years to pay off the loan. And the Lova says, no, you're only entitled to keep it for 2 years to pay off the loan. Kadim Malva Vachlim Lepere. The Malva keeps it for the third year and eats the peros of the third year. And now they're coming to Bezin. So they're coming to Bezin after it's already done. He's already kept it for 3 years. Min Amon. Who's believed in this case when he's coming this late in the game? So the Ran and the Muke Yosef ask that once it says Shanim Stam, we had a Gemara way back at the beginning of the Masechta on Dav Dalid, where the Gemara said that if it says Slatin or Dinarin in a shtar, so we assume miut rabim shnayim. We always assume that the minimum plural is two, and we always go with the minimum plural. So why don't we say the same thing over here? If it just says years, so that's a plural, and the minimum plural is two, and therefore you should have to pay back for the payros that he ate during the third year. So that's the kasha that all the Rishonim ask. And the Ran and the Mukhe Yosef from Atarit, that Rav Kahana held that granted miut rabim shnayim, but nevertheless, it's still a suffix, meaning it's not like that's definitely what it means. And therefore, if you've already eaten that third year of peros, right, once it's a suffix and you've already taken it, you can't be mechayev him misuffix to pay for the achila of the peros of the third year. It's still only going to be a suffix. If nothing's been done yet, so good. You're only going to be able to be motzi 2 years worth of peros. But once you already ate the third year, we can't be motzi that third year of peros from him. They also answer that there's a raya in the malva's direction, because after, over in this case, because after all, why did you leave the karka by him for the third year? Meaning now you pipe up that it was only a 2-year deal after he ate payrolls for a whole third year? He didn't say anything during the third year. So why did you only start talking now? So that seems to be a little bit of a raya in the Malva's direction, pushing against the Lovez Miyot Rabim Shnayim. So anyway, so who's believed? Rav Yehuda Amar Karka B'cheskos Ba'ale Akaima. Rav Yehuda says the karka remains in the chazaka of the Bailim, that the borrower who owes the money is the Bailim, and therefore we assume he's the owner of the field, and therefore the lender has to pay back that third year worth of fruits. Rav Kahana Amar Peros Becheskos Hachleim Kaimer. Rav Kahana says, no, just the opposite. We assume that the Peros are Becheskos, the person that ate them already. Vilchsa Kavaseid Rav Kahana, Damar Peros Becheskos Hachleim. And the halacha is, like Rav Kahana, that we assume that the person who ate the fruits already ate the fruits, and it is what it is. Says Tosfos, forget Tosfos. The Gemara Maseches Basra says that if a person goes to Sada Chavero and he eats for 2 years from the peros of his friend's field, and then the Bala Sada is Toveya that he wants those fruits back, and the person who ate it says that I was an artist on this field, or I purchased from you the rights to eat the peros of this field, so he's neman with the shvua on the peros that he already ate, but he's not neman to keep the karka in his hand. Why is he neman for the peros? Because ein adam chatzuf lechel peros she'enam shalom. The Gemara is a principle in Maseches Basra. A person would not have the chutzpah to eat fruits that aren't his. Why doesn't that principle apply over here as well? Right? Say ein adam chatzuf lechel peros she'enam shalom. Right? That's what the Bach asks. The Bach asks, why don't we say in our sugi also that the malva should be neman on the achila of the peros of the third year, this for the same svara. Person doesn't have the chutzpah to eat peros she'enam shalom. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So there are several answers offered by the poskim. The Bach is metarets that over here the malva has a shtar that's misayeya that says shanim stama. So that ruins the chazaka that he wouldn't have the chutzpah to eat peros she'enam shalom because it's not really a chutzpah. Because he'll just say, what do you mean? It's not that this is my shtar. So it wouldn't take much chutzpah. So that, ironically, removes his chazaka that he wouldn't eat peros that aren't his, and therefore these must be his. So the greater raya he has that it is his is ultimately going to hurt him and lead us to believe that maybe it's not really his, because it wouldn't be such a great chutzpah. A little bit of an ironic type of teretz. The Shach is metaretz that since it says in the Shtar, Shanim Stama, and Miyot Rabim Shnayim, so that's a reyos against the taina of the Malva. Okay, there are several answers offered. Says the Gemara Vayter, but wait a second, how can we pass on like Rav Kahana that the peros are becheskos ochlei and that the guy who ate the peros has the chazaka? Don't we pass on like Rav Nachman that karka remains in the chazaka of the person who owns the karka? Now Rav Nachman was not talking about our case specifically, he was talking about a case that we discussed recently, where we discussed about a week ago, where I'm going to rent something from you, and instead of saying, discussing the rental agreement in terms of a monthly arrangement of a dinar per month, or purely in terms of an annual arrangement, 12 dinar per year, we say both. We say one dinar per month, 12 dinar per year, and it turns out there are 13 months in the year, right? So that's where Rav Nachman said, what do you do about that 13th month? Karka b'cheskos ba'ale omedas, that it's the bailim who have the chal, even if he already ate the 13th month, meaning he already used the 13th month, he used the merchatz or whatever it was he was renting for a 13th month, still we say not that the peros are b'cheskos, the person who ate it already, the person who used it already, rather we assume the karka is b'cheskos, the original bailim, and therefore you got to pay back that 13th month. And don't we paskin? Rashi adds in a word over here to this Gemara. Not just Hilchsa Kavaseid Rav Nachman, but Hilchsa Rav Nachman Bedini. Don't we always paskin like Rav Nachman when it comes to Dina Mamunus? So shouldn't that therefore tell us not to paskin like Rav Kahana over here? Answers the Gemara, no, there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. Hasa Milsa Delavi Delagliyehi. In the case of the dinar per month, 12 dinar per year situation, it's never going to be megala to us. We're never going to know what he really meant. And we're never going to know what he was really entitled to because the shtar was written in a confusing way. It was a poorly written shtar. Nothing you could do about it. There's no way anyone's going to be able to prove one way or the other. Over here, it's very likely that one day we'll figure it out. How so? The Edom on the Shtar are going to come, and they'll say, yeah, we forgot to write the number of years, but it was really supposed to be for X amount of years, for 3 years, for 5 years. So someone's going to, it could very well come to light what the halacha really should be, and it could very well come to light that he actually is entitled to it for the extra year, for 3 years and not for 2 years. So if we're going to make him pay back now, the third year, it's very likely that in 2 weeks, two Edom are going to come to Beis Din, and we're going to have to then give the money back again, and it's to make the money go back and forth, that's just going to be a terrible zilusa de Beidina. It's going to be a zilzal in the Beis Din. Makes it look like Beis Din doesn't know what they're doing, to go back and forth and reverse decisions. It makes it look ridiculous. So we're not going to be matriach in such a case because of that. The Rush says that from this it seems that if the Rush the Rush in Simon Mem writes that the Yira'e the Kivan the Kaimlan Karka Bechaskos Baleo Medes the Einon Manichna Peros Biaramalva El Mifrei Chashash Torech Beisin, says the Rush. Why is it that we're letting the guy keep that third year of produce that he already ate and we're not making him pay? Because we're worried that maybe it's going to be a zilusa de Beis Din, that they're going to have to go give it back and forth. It's going to be a tircha on the Beis Din, at least, that they're going to have to go back and forth. What does that imply that the din really should be? The implication is that the din should be that he should have to give it up. So says the Rush, if you have a situation where it's unlikely that it's ever going to be a tircha on the Beis Din, that it's ever going to have to go back, so then we're going to follow that din. We're going to follow what the din really should be. He says, for instance, imesu ha'edim. Let's say the Edom died. So there's no concern that the Edom are going to show up and say, oh, we remember when we wrote that shtar, it was supposed to say, really, 3 years. No, that's not going to happen. They're dead already. So then you're going to have to make the guy give back, the malva give back, that third year of peros that he already ate. That's the Chiddush Medina that the Rush says. The Shilta Giborim, in the name of the Riaz, is cholik on that. And he says, even if Mesu Edom, it's still something that's alul hiskala. How's it alul hiskala? Maybe other people heard from the Edom. Maybe the Balei Din themselves will tell us the truth. Whatever it is, in some way, it's not a question that's left up in the air forever. It's something that there was a definite right and wrong over there, and it's and someone knew about it. And therefore, it's always considered us the scholars. It's always considered something that may become well known. Says Gemara Vayter, Malvam Chamish Lavam Shalosh. New case, nothing to do with the previous case where he already ate the extra years. No, they're arguing Meikara. The Malva says that he's entitled to 5 years. The Lava says, no, you're only entitled to 3 years of this karka in this Mashkanta Desura case. Amalei Aisili Shtarcha. So the Lava says, okay, you want to keep it for 5 years? Bring me the shtar that says that you're allowed to have it for 5 years. Amalei Shtar Yirkasli says, well, I lost the shtar. Amravi. The malva is believed because he could have said migo that he could have said lekuchi biyadi. After all, he's had it for 3 years already, so he could have just claimed that he owned it. So by the fact that he's not claiming he owns it, he's just claiming that it's a mashkanta desura that he's supposed to keep for another 2 years. So we're going to believe him. Says the Ramban, what you see from here is there's a major sugya, a shah sugya, whether we say migo lahotzi. Do we use a migo to be motzi mamon, to extract money from somebody? Ramban says this gemara is an afna raya that we do say migo lahotzi. Right? The malva's got this migo that, believe me, that I'm entitled to another 2 years, migo that I could have said, this belongs to me, and it belongs to me, that this karka belongs to me, that I purchased it from you, and it now belongs to me, and we allow him to be motzi 2 years worth of peros based on that. So what about those Rishonim that don't say migo lahotzi? How are they going to answer? So there's a Beis Halevi, in Chela Gimel, Simon Lam and Gimel, that tries to be Mitaritz. He's Mitaritz based on Rabbeinu Yonah and Rishonim, that a Malva is, since the Malva is holding onto the land as a Mashkon, it's not called a Migo Lahotzi. Meaning, since he's holding it specifically for the Peros, so it's not considered the Lahotzi, it's not considered that he's extracting something, that he's taking anything away from the other guy, because he's only holding on to this land as a Mashkon for the Peros, but it's in his possession right now. So it's not lahotzi because he's the one that's still holding on to it right now. So male, it's not called that you're being motzi from the other person. Let's go back to it. We don't have much time. Beis Levi gives another answer, but not for now. So I'm later Rav Ravashi, Ravziv Rav Avira lo srilu had Rav Yehuda. Ravziv and Rav Avira don't hold of Rav Yehuda's shita that the mouth is nemen with a migo. My time, why? Hai shtara kibin to lugvayna kai misar zahir bay umich bashu de kafshe l'shtare. Savar uchlatat in shnin yisirta. Why is it that after 3 years normally you have a chazaka? This is what the whole third paragraph of Masechta Bava Basra is going to be about. After 3 years, you have the ability to say that I purchased this land because you're not expected to hold on to the shtar for more than 3 years. The guy didn't come with a tiny. Within 3 years, you're not expected to hold on to a shtar that says that you bought something for more than 3 years. The deed to your house, you assume you're... Why? Because the deed to your house is something that's forever. Why? Meaning if you expect to hold on to it for more than 3 years, it's the amount of time you expect to hold on to it could be forever. Meaning why would you draw a line anywhere else? So we have to draw a line somewhere and say, since you're obviously not going to hold on to it forever, so there must be a line somewhere. So we say the line is at 3 years. When you take a field as a mashkon, it's not forever that's facing you. Right? What would you be expected to do? To hold on to it till the end of that mashkon, till the time that you're supposed to be in that field is up. If it's 5 years, it's 5 years. But we don't assume that, nah, he would never hold on to a shtar for more than 3 years. No, we only assume that because the alternative is to say he has to hold on to it forever. But in this case, the alternative is to say, let him hold on to it till the end of the mashkon, till the end of the arrangement, which might be 5 years. If he doesn't have a shtar of a mashkon, it must be that he's hiding it. And he's hiding it because it says something that he doesn't like in it, like the fact that he only has it for 3 years, and he's trying to hide it so that he'll be able to eat an extra 2 years out of it. If that's the case, if you have a mashkanta desura that says as follows, that when these years are up, the land should go back without anyone having to pay anything. Can a guy just hide his shtar mashkanta and say that it's mine, that I purchased this land? Can the Rabbanim, what were the Rabbanim thinking when they came up with this idea of a mashkanta desura? It's so easy to be dishonest when you have a mashkanta desura. Just hide the shtar and say that it's yours. Now the Rabbanan anticipated that, and therefore by mashkanta desura they said that the person who owns the land, not the guy holding onto the mashkan, the one who owns the land has to pay the taxes on it, and he's the one that digs around the borders of it. So therefore no one's ever going to forget who the real owner is, because there are certain jobs that he maintains in that land. So everyone will remember who the real owner of the land is. No one's ever going to be able to taina l'kuchi biyadi. What about a land that doesn't have taxes and doesn't have a place to dig around it? So I'm late, you buy Lilim Chuyi. Then he should have made a macha within 3 years to remind people. So Loim Chamai, what if he didn't make a macha? So now he's going to lose. So the Gemara says, yeah, he would have said an avshay. Then he was careless. Right? If I give someone my land as a mashkon and I do nothing over the first 3 years to make it evident that it's still my land, so then it's my fault. Then I'm just careless. Aris Amal Mechso Yeradiv, Balabayas Amal Shlish Yeradiv. New case. An artist says, our deal is that I'm supposed to work this land to get half of the produce. The Balabayas says, no, not half. You're supposed to get one third. Me, Naman, who's believed? Rav Yehuda Amar Balabayas Naman. Rav Yehuda says Balabayas is believed. Rav Nachman Amar Akol Kaminikam Adin. Rav Nachman says you just follow whatever standard practice happens to be in that location. Savar Mine Lo Pligi. So we originally assumed they're not even arguing. If it's a place where the standard practice is that an aris gets half, so he gets half. If it's a place where the standard practice is that an aris gets a third, so he gets a third. Amrul Rav Mari Brad Ba Shmuel. Rav Mari Brad Ba Shmuel says, they're even arguing in a case where it's a location that the normal standard practice is that the aris gets a half. Rav Yehuda Amar Balabayas Naman, the Bai Amar Schiri Likitihu. Rav Yehuda will still say that the Balabayas is believed that this aris only gets a third. Why? Why would he be believed if the minig in the whole place is that everyone always gets a half? Is because he has a migo. He could have said that this isn't an aris at all, that this guy is just an employee of mine and I'm supposed to pay him a salary, but he's not an aris at all. So since he could have gotten away with such a taina, because there's no raya that he's an aris to begin with, obviously we don't have a shtar to the arrangement, that's why we don't know how much he's supposed to get. So he's neman to say that he's an aris at a discounted rate. Yisamim amrum anu mishpachnu, balchov amr avich mishpiach. Let's say a man owes money to somebody else, and then he dies, and he leaves his land to his Yisamim. His Yisamim then improve the land, or the land is found in an improved state. So the Yisamim say, yeah, we were mashpiach the land. You can't collect from our shevach. You can't just take away what we... You can take away our father's land. We understand you're entitled to that. But you can't take away the land, the improvements we made. Balchov omer, avicha mashpiach. And the Balchov says, no, your father improved the land, and therefore I'm totally entitled to it. Al mila havi raya. Who has to bring the raya in this case? So sav Rebbe Chanina lemeimar, arba b'cheskes yas mikhaima, balchov havi raya. So Rebbe Chanina thought to say that the land is in the chazak of the Yisomim, and therefore the Balchov is going to have to bring a raya that it was the father who improved land. Amalu Ahusaba, Hachiam Rabbi Yochanan, Ali Yisom Lavi Raya. So Ahusaba said, no, Rabbi Yochanan held that the Yisomim have to bring a Raya. My Taima, Ara Kivindul Guvaina Kaima, Command the Gav Yadamya. This land is going to be collected one way or the other. And since it's going to be collected, it's just a question of compensation to the Yisomim for the Shevach in the land, but it's going to be collected one way or the other. It's as if it's already collected. Val Yisomim Lavi Raya. And if the Yisomim want to be able to be compensated, they're going to have to bring the raya. But the land is going to go, because we know the land is going in any case. Amar Abaye, meaning even if the Yisom did the Shevach, the land will be collected, the guy will just have to pay them some cash for the Shevach. Amar Abaye, Afen Anami Tanina. We have a very similar case in, of all places again, Maseches Baba Basra. We have a very similar case, Sav Exekadim, Kotzei Tzveinu Nosin Damim. The halach is you're not allowed to plant certain types of trees within 50 amos of a city. A shikma tree, for instance, you're not allowed to plant within 50 amos of a city. Let's say you had a tree and then the city was built within 50 amos of your tree, you have to cut down your tree. But if your tree was there first, they have to compensate you for your tree. If you built your tree after the city was there, you have to cut it down and you don't get compensated. Let's say we don't know which was there first. You claim your tree was there first, the city claims that the city was there first. So either way, the tree has to get cut down. Right? Regardless of which was there first, the tree is going to get cut down. So the halacha is, you cut down the tree, now you have to bring a raya that you were there first if you want to get compensated for it. So veinu nosin damim, you're not going to get paid. Alma, why? What's the svara? Same svara. Given to the mekatz kaimam, rinulei, I see raya shkol. Since we know the tree is supposed to be cut down, regardless of who came first, so that we're going to do. We're going to do what's definite, and now you want to bring a raya that they owe you money. You'll have to bring the raya. Hachanami, I start given to the levina kaima, command the gavi, dami vali son, love your raya. So to over here, this field we know is the levina kaima. It's supposed to be collected because of the shtar, and let the Yisom bring a raya if they want to get compensated for their shevach, for what they claim is their shevach. Aishri yasmi raya deitnu ashbachu. What if they do bring a raya? So how are they compensated? So Rechanina thought the way they're compensated is you leave them a little corner of the land as payment for their shevach. Velohi, but that's not correct. You give them cash. You don't give them a piece of the land. Mida Rav Nachman, based on Rav Nachman, Dam Rav Nachman Shmuel, Shlosh Shamalam as a Shevach Malan Osam Bedam. There are three cases where you evaluate the Shevach, that was the improvements to the land that were made by certain people, but you don't pay them with the land itself. You only pay them with cash. What are those cases? Ve'elu Hein, Bechor LePashut. Bechor is only supposed to take Pishnayim in the original land, not in the Shevach that was improved, that the land was improved, because he's not notal baroi kibemuchsak. He doesn't take pishnayim. So when you're cheshbening the shevach, so you cheshben the shevach, the bechor still takes pishnayim of the land, but he'll just pay back in cash for the shevach that was made, that the pashut had made to the land in the interim. Let's say a balchov or ksubasisha is collecting from Yisomim, and the Yisomim were mashbiach the land, that's our case, and the balchov wants to collect from the Yisomim, so he'll collect the entire land, but he'll pay them off with cash for the shevach. And also if there was a lokeach that had purchased the land, and the balchov is taking from the lokeach, and the lokeach had improved the land, balchov can take the whole land and pay off the lokeach in cash. So we were most interested in that second case of the balchov collecting from Yisomim, that he doesn't leave them a piece of land, he takes the entire land, leaves them with cash. The Gemara is going to focus on the third case, balchov lelukuchos. Do you mean to say that the balchov has to give the lukuchos compensate them for the shevach of the land. Doesn't Shmuel himself hold that the Balchov gets to collect the shevach? He gets to keep it for himself. He doesn't have to compensate them, because the lokeach could just go back to the guy he bought the field from and get compensated for his shevach. Why should the Balchov not be allowed to collect the shevach? Maybe you'll say it's different. When does he not have the ability to collect? That's when the shevach is already almost ready for harvest. But when it's not yet almost ready for harvest, then he will be able to collect it. But Shmuel always collects for the balchov from the lukuchos and the shevach, even when it's magilik sefayim. So lo kasha. So it's not a stira. How much money is owed to this balchov? If balchov is only owed the value of the land before the shevach, so then he's going to have to compensate the lokeach for the shevach. If he's owed the value of the land plus the value of the shevach, then he won't have to compensate. He'll be able to collect everything. So wait a second. If he's not owed the value of the shevach, so what does he do? He takes the land and pays back the lokeach for the money, for the value of the shevach. So that would work very well if you were to assume that the halacha is that, let's say lokeach had cash, and he said, look, don't take away this land. I worked so hard on this land to improve it. Here's cash that you're owed. Take cash from me. If he could do that, I understand very well. But if you hold that if I understand that he's not allowed to pay him with cash, it's good. But if I understand that the lokeach is allowed to be mesalik balchov with just giving him cash, then namely, why can't the lokeach say to the balchov, if I would have had land, I would have thrown you out of here. I would have been able to give you the land and say, I'm keeping the entire land for myself. You take cash, the land with the shevach, with everything is mine. Hashad the Leslie Zuze. Now look, I don't have money, but Havli Geryud Arabari Shir Shavchai. At least let me keep a piece of land that's worth my shevach. Why are you going to take away the whole land from me with the shevach and then compensate me with cash for the shevach? Take away only the amount of land that's worth minus the, meaning leave me over with an amount of land that's worth the shevach. Now the case over here is that you had made the field into an apotiki. He's only allowed to get paid from that field, and it's as if he's already muchzak in that field, and therefore the lokeach is unable to push him off with cash or with any taina of what he could have done with cash.